Welcome to the Business Shop Podcast, where our guests speak on meeting the challenges of entrepreneurship, as well as offer tips and advice on business, marketing, technology, and more. Whether you are a newbie or a seasoned professional, this episode is for you. I am your host, Audrey Wiggins.
Let's chop it up.
Chop Squad, I'm excited about our guest today. Her name is Tracy Gunn, and she's going to talk to us about exit strategies. Now, Tracy is a seasoned entrepreneur and founder of Get Exitable, a company specializing in helping business owners exit their businesses on their own terms. The terrifying stats are that only 1 in 10 listed businesses will ever sell. Why is no one talking about this? Well, Tracy shares her signature process for creating and enticing the sale of your businesses. Now, we're going to learn a little bit more about her on the other side of this message.
Knock out your competition with All Together Marketing. We elevate your brand. Take a stance with your business name, logo, the tagline, your colors, even the fonts for your business. And then jab left with your website. Jab right with core values. Back up with product experience and bring it on with you. Visit alltogether.biz and let us help you create a knockout brand.
Thanks for having me. I'm so excited. I love this topic. I love kind of jumping in and getting into the down and dirty of it because nobody's talking about it and they really should be. So,
yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I'm going to continue on here a little bit more. Audiences will discover, and so we're going to discover this today, Chop Squad, the 3 secrets to ensure a successful sale, including how to go through the valuation process. Oh, God. How to create an exit strategy and how to improve our business value and odds of selling. Now, Tracy draws from her personal experience in transforming her sellable restaurant and finding her buyer in just 3 months. Wow. Some people don't sell their homes in 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. All while running the 2 restaurants and 2 candy stores. Tracy works with clients who are looking to exit their business due to a loss of passion, retirement, or the desire to pursue new opportunities. With her guidance, clients develop tailored exit strategies that not only make their businesses sellable, but also transferable and highly desirable to buyers. Tracy's on a mission. Get this, folks. To help 1 million small business owners develop and implement exit strategies by 2028. Tracy, again, welcome to the Business Chop.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm so excited. Hopefully we'll start knocking on that number today. So getting closer to 1 million.
That would be awesome. Yes, yes. And I know it's doable because it's a lot of business, small businesses, a lot of small businesses out here.
Yeah, there are.
Yes.
And there's even more that are ready to retire, but haven't thought about this at all. You know, we always know that one business owner who's been around for 30, 40, 50 years.
Yeah.
And they're like, I think I want to sell. And they're like, well, have you thought about it? And they're like, I talked to my accountant once, maybe.
Once.
Like, yeah, very common. And it's only, again, I'm a cautionary tale, right? I mean, I wanted to sell. Mm-hmm. The broker told me, don't bother, just liquidate everything. And I was like,
oh, wow.
What? Like, so yes, I cried. Yeah.
But you know, but your business, especially if it's been around for a while, it's a pillar or a mainstay. It's part of the community. And people, you know, look forward to going to, you know, whatever it is, Tracy's shop or, you know, because I don't know the name of the restaurant. But to be able to continue that.
Yeah.
You know, that legacy.
Right. And it's often the local businesses that have been there 20, 30, 40 years are the ones that support the Booster Club, are the main.
Yes.
They're the cornerstone of Main Street. Like those ones. And when they go, right, because they're ready to retire and they can't find a buyer and it doesn't go on, it leaves a hole. And it's like the business never existed. Like, it's a crime, really. And because it doesn't have to be that way, right? Mm-hmm. They built something that had value, that had whether it just be a list or income or value for the community, a service, but there's something there that's valuable. But more often than not, the broker just is looking at the bottom line,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's important to be looking, okay, what would the broker say today?
Right.
And how can, right? Like he said to me, and then after I had my little moment and cried, I put on my big girl pants and I thought, what is he missing? Like, cause I think there's something here. I think there's something. And I had to really look at it like, okay, why would a buyer not want to buy my business as opposed to why would they? And once you identify those things and figure out what you want and what you're willing to do, you just mesh the two and boom, you got it. Like it's just, you just have the, but the longer the runway, the easier the takeoff, really. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you lay it out ahead, don't wait till, you know, 2 months before your retirement date. It's probably not your best chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a good place to start then. But the first question is, how do we prepare to exit our business?
Yeah. I mean, so the way we do it, and this is what I did for myself and we've done for all of our clients, is that we start with, what do you actually want? Right. Some people have, you know, they're just tired and hate it. I was at a place where running four of them myself, I was ready to like set the match and walk away and let it burn. Right.
Burn out.
I just want it to be done. Right. I would have paid somebody to take it. Right. Mm-hmm. So it just depends what threshold you're at. And then it's just deciding, what do you really want? Right. How often as owners do we not think about what our end game is? And what do we want now? We're always just surviving and getting to the next thing. And so what we do is we do our exit plan. And what that entails is, what do I want?
Okay.
What does this look like? And why? I mean, because the why gets you through the bad days, right? Once you identify what you really want and you're going to commit and work towards that, that filters the bad days. Like, okay, that end game is strong enough to get me to keep going, even though today I just want to cry, you know, those kind of things. So we identify, what do they want? What do they need? Like, think about these businesses that, you know, there's a stat that's 12 to 15 million small business owners are going to retire in the next 5 years, all the boomers.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So, they're in their 70s probably, and they're done.
Yeah.
And so when it comes time, they're going to, one way or another, the business will move on from them, whether mm-hmm. it goes away or, you know, they sell. And so, you know, when you think about those people, all those people, and most of them don't sell, it's like, okay, well, like, how much are you willing to do to make it sellable? And do you need it to sell to be able to retire? Again, mm-hmm. most of us, I think I found another stat that said 80% of our net worth as owners is in our business.
Wow.
So if we don't sell and we just let it go, we've lost 80%. Now we've lost our income.
Mm-hmm.
We also haven't had that wealth transference that we've been banking on, right? Most of us think, oh, I'll start it and someday it'll pay me back. This
right.
is the time it's supposed to pay you back. So if you plan ahead, you can get there. You just have to start thinking about, you know, all the things that you maybe are doing in the business that you shouldn't be doing, somebody else should be doing, or that you should stop doing, you know, all those kind of things. So we start with, what is your plan here? Like, what would your ideal dream exit look like, money-wise, time-wise, effort-wise? Why do you want to? So that's kind of the gist of the exit plan.
Okay. So give us like three moves that we can make to transform our business. So if we get to that point, so maybe we're not one of the boomers and, you know, maybe it's 10 years out or 20 years out. So what could we be doing now?
Okay.
Because I don't think we really, at least I don't think so anyway, the average person really, you know, starts a business and, you know, starts to think about the exit plan, at least not in the first couple of years anyway.
They don't. And even as they're going along, do you know when they think about it? They think about it when they've had enough, when they're kind of burnt out, right? They're kind of burnt out and they think, I just don't want to do this anymore. They get tired, or some new shiny object appears and they think, how the heck do I get out of this thing, right?
Yeah.
But really, there's three levers that we teach people to pull. And we start with the idea that, okay, like we'll use myself as an example. I had this 6,500 square foot restaurant that I was running. I had staff, I had 25 staff, total 42 between all the businesses.
Wow. They were
running, but I was still the engine that made everything go.
Oh, yeah, always, that's a lot.
Right? And so when he said it's not worth selling, just liquidate, I had to think about why. Mm-hmm. And really it was because I wasn't going to go with the business. Mm. So there wasn't going to be a buyer easily that could step in who would want to do what I was doing, first of all, but second, could do what I was doing because it was all, again, I was the engine. And so I really had to take a look and think, how do I get myself out of this so that things are running? So there's three ways. It's either technology, like AI could be, or software, or something like that, some type of program or system that's tech that can replace me. That's number one. Number two, you have systems. So you can get systems in place and delegate. Yeah, right. Give it to somebody else. I have a good story about like a system, but, and then finally it's people. Who can you delegate this to? And whether that's in-house or out of house, right? Mm-hmm. Whether it's a VA in, you know, Thailand or the Philippines, or it's somebody who's already working for you that could be doing the work, right? And so those three levers, usually a problem, meaning a dependency on the owner problem, is solved with one of those three or a combo. So like, for example, in my restaurant, he told me my business was not worth selling. It was worth zero. Okay. So I started with that belief. And so, okay, well, if it's not worth anything right now, what can I do? So I one of the things that I had not installed in my business was an inventory system for the liquor. Okay. And if you've ever had a restaurant or had bartenders, you know, that is the easiest place for theft to occur because they are handling everything. And so we installed a liquor inventory control system through one of my staff people who already knew how to do it. I didn't know how to do it. I could have, which is typical for owners, to go out and figure out how to do it and take
Right.
Right. Instead, she said, I know how to do that. So for an extra 5 hours a week, I paid her an extra $100, let's say a week. And she took charge of that. But what we found with that data is that a ton of alcohol was missing.
Mm.
And so once we figured that out and fired people and instituted policies and let them know we were tracking, all of a sudden I was more profitable. I wasn't going through so much, right?
Yeah.
My staff was leaving with the money. So all of a sudden, just with that one change of hiring somebody to do something that really should have been in place anyway, that I didn't have to do, all I had to do was pay her, I all of a sudden was more profitable.
Wow.
Right? So that's just a simple way that I did. And at the time I was like, what? Like, this is crazy. Because, you know, there's two ways. I was like, well, it's just a bottle of Jack Daniels. Except, well, it's not just a bottle of Jack
Daniels. That's right.
If you think about that bottle, let's say, makes 40 drinks at $7 a pop, it's a lot of money.
That's right.
Not, you know? So, and all of a sudden, you start to add that back into your business. Now you're way more profitable, which means your value's higher.
Mm-hmm.
That's one little thing I did that all of a sudden made my business more viable and more profitable.
Yeah, that was huge right there. My goodness.
Well, and I didn't even think about it. You know, when you're in the middle of it, you're surviving, right?
Yeah.
But I wanted to get a handle on it. So, but again, I just delegated that to her. She already had the skill set. She implemented it. The end.
Right. Go on to the next thing.
Correct. And that's what I did. That's how I was able to find a buyer, because I just kept knocking things out that were my job instead delegating, or like I created, I just turned on a loyalty program in my point of sale system. It was already there, but all of a sudden I had a list that told me how many people came in that were on it. I had a way to talk to them. I could tell how much they were worth to me every month, every year.
Mm-hmm.
I could track. And so, and it gave some more personalization to the environment, but also, you know, all of a sudden I could predict, right? But I had again, in the mist, but that was just turning on the tech. That's all that it was. And I didn't have to pay for it. But you see how tech just all of a sudden built an asset for me without me doing it.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Now there's the equity in your business.
Right. Right. Yeah. And again, you're building your assets. So it's mm-hmm. really like we talked about, like most people in the beginning are just thinking, let me get this thing going. Let mm-hmm. me start to get paid. Let me make sure it stands on its own. But we get to that place and we usually don't go any further. We start to really focus on growing as opposed to solidifying the base here, right? So that it can exist without us, so that it can, you know, part of our little saying is like that you need to transform your business into an exitable, meaning you get out of it, mm-hmm. transferable, meaning you could hand it to someone and it's not going to fall apart. And if you have those two pieces, now it's sellable, right? Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to buy a job. I mean, very, right. And so it's just shifting the thought process. And again, I am an advocate, obviously, but of exit planning from the beginning, like what's our goal here?
Yeah.
Because it keeps us really on track. It keeps us in the rut we're supposed to be in, staying on track instead of off in no man's land with the new shiny thing that's attractive to us. It just keeps us moving towards the goal and not just in the end, but in the beginning. You know, if you knew that you wanted to build a $3 million a year business and you were going to do it through having 5 stores in the tri-state area, doing this much per, you know, in sales a year, you'd mm-hmm. know exactly how to get there because you've defined it. Right?
Right.
And you would dismiss anything that kind of detracted from that. And it doesn't mean you can't change that exit mm-hmm. target, right? As you evolve and think, well, that's maybe not as possible, or maybe I underestimated, maybe it needs to be bigger, right? We adjust. But if you don't have it at all, we're kind of building willy-nilly. Like I kind of equate it to like this, you know, fun house where we just don't have a plan, but we just start building our house and we have a little crazy room over here and a crazy room over there. And like nothing makes any sense. And it's a mishmash because we've just kept building with no real end target in mind. We don't know what it's supposed to look like at the end, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So if we're here now and we haven't done anything, is it too late?
No, it's not too late. That's why this is so important. That's why I do a lot of these, is that it's not too late. Like if I had listened to the broker, who, let's be honest, like his job is to sell something that's easy for him and make him money, right? Yeah. So he's not thinking about what's best for me per se. Mm-hmm. He's thinking, is this workable for him? So if I had listened to him after I cried, I just would have like closed up. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so
and depressed for the next correct. Years.
Exactly. And like mm-hmm. got now and just thought there was no hope. So but there is hope because I didn't fix everything. And yet within 3 months, a buyer approached me in my bar. He was a customer who never had a business. And he really appreciated and wanted what I had built.
Wow.
Just by making some changes.
Yeah. Now, Tracy, how did that happen? I mean, did he know that you were in the market for selling or just started the conversation? Or
I had talked a lot about it because I was running. You know, I was very present in all my businesses.
Okay.
Meaning face, like I always hired, I always had staff. So it wasn't only dependent on me, but because I was kind of the core, mm-hmm. right? And I was always there kind of just seeing how it was going. Like my largest one was a 6,500 square foot restaurant. It fit 300 or 400 people. The That's bar awesome. Sat 40. It was humongous. And so it really needed somebody to manage. But I was in between the time of like being able to find somebody to manage and pay for that. Right.
You know.
Anywho, but he was there and I had been talking about that I had a new grandson and I just wanted to be able to go and just snuggle him for months, but I couldn't. And I was just talking about like, what are my options? I don't know what my options are, but I'm going to fix it. I'm going to just try to sell and just keep going with it. Right. And I'm not a quitter, you know, as much as some days you want to. I thought I can fix this. So I gave myself 6 months and I thought in 6 months, if I can't figure this out and be happier and find somebody to buy this thing, then maybe I'll just close it. But I gave myself a time frame to work towards. And in talking to my customers, again, very friendly business of restaurant and bar, just chatting it up, like, this is what I'm thinking. And they'd be like, yeah, all the time, you work so much. I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to decide how to sell, you know, just being honest with my customers and with my staff. They all knew, like, for me, it wasn't a big secretive thing because I didn't want them to be nervous.
Right, right.
So I was just very honest about, like, I'm not going to leave you guys in the lurch. A lot of them had been with me a long time. And so for me, it was just easy. And plus, I'm from New York and I like to talk. So it was very easy for me to share my hopes with people. And so he's like, would you sell it to me? And I was like, wow. I would have never thought of him. And that's an interesting part about exit planning is, you know, we kind of encourage you to identify who the buyer might be.
Yeah.
And I just never thought somebody just sitting at the bar having a beverage would be somebody. And he had never owned a business, but he was going to empty his 401k to do that because he wanted something to invest in. Right.
Okay.
But again, like, so that's kind of the theory there is, like, you know, people will approach you if you're working towards that goal. But if the goal, if it's not obvious and you're not working towards it, it's not really going to ding on people's radar that you're looking for that. Right.
That's true. Yes, absolutely. So, Tracy, then how is the business valued, or how do we value?
I usually do. So when I asked the broker, I had zero idea. So he told me it was worth nothing. So it did not compute for me. It made no sense. So this is an interesting thing, too, is that most business owners, they probably know what their house is worth. They have zero idea what their business is worth or even how to figure it out. Well, how do you increase the value if you don't know how it's put together? So we teach, just when we do our classes and stuff, we do just a very down and dirty profit model of, we just take what was your profit from last year, and depending on the profit level. So if it's under, let's just say, 150,000, you're probably looking at a multiple of one. So you take your profit and you multiply it by one. And that's a reasonable ask. And let's just say, obviously, it's an easier sell if you are not completely dependent upon in your business. So we're going to take that out of it. But, like, if you have profit of $100,000, it's very reasonable that someone would be willing to pay you $100,000 to $150,000 to buy that business. Because I know in year one, it'll have paid for itself.
Yeah, right.
The higher the higher the profit, though, the more interested people are in paying more for it. Right? If you had $500,000 in profit a year, people would often pay you $1 million for that. That's a 2x, right? Or maybe even a 3x, because they know that, number one, you have a very viable business, but it's going to pay them back. Right.
Yeah. Right.
You have to run a lot of years. So, like, if you think about it like this, like, if you only had 50,000 in profit last year and you want 300,000, they had to run that business for 6 years to even break even.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And right, so right. The more attractive, and the other part is so your multiple. So you have the two pieces. You have your profitability for a year and you have your multiple.
Okay.
But once it's a professionally run business, meaning not dependent on the owner, like, let's just say, even if it's fractional, a C-suite who's running all the parts, now you're talking a 4X plus. So sometimes, this is one of our little tricks, I'll give you a sneak peek, is that if you professionalize your business, get yourself out, and you hire out, even fractionally, all the divisions, you can expect a 4X on your profitability, because now it's a real professionally run business. It's less of a risk to buy.
Okay.
Right. Versus dependent on the seller. Do you see how that, right? I mean, if you were the buyer, would you want a business that the owner's running everything, or would you want a business where the owner's just overseeing and collecting checks?
Yeah. Door number two.
Right. Exactly. But we don't think about that because we're in it, right? And we're also emotional. Like, this is our baby that we built, usually from scratch. It's afforded us the life usually, like if you've been in business a long time, that business has provided for you over the years. Mm-hmm. And so you're emotionally attached to it. So you see it as more valuable because it's emotional, right?
Right.
But not always transferable.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense.
So, wow. But that's an easy one for people listening. Like, just do that basic math for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and just think you're probably in the more 1 to 1.5 to 2 range. So think about that. Like, if you're depending on your business selling for $1 million so you can retire someday, mm-hmm. well, then you probably have some work to do because yeah. the reality check is, okay, where is it now? And if this is where I need to go, next is how do I get there?
Tracy, how do we get in touch with you so we can learn more about exit strategies?
So we have website. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have getexitable.com. On there's a bunch of free resources. We have like the 10 mm-hmm. steps of exiting your business, like getting to a sale. We have a 30-day challenge, which helps you build your exit plan over 30 days for free.
Oh.
Just in 5 minutes a day, one task a day, just to kind of get your first draft done.
Okay.
Because again, once you do it, I know exit planning, not very sexy, right? But
right.
if you think about that, it could pay you instead of nothing, $200,000, $300,000. Now that's a little bit more sexy, right? Mm-hmm. And if it's just, this is, in my opinion, the number one factor of whether or not a business sells or not is whether or not they planned for the exit.
Yeah.
So there's a bunch of free resources in there. And then we also have, you know, classes we offer and stuff. So that's the best place to find me. And I'm on social everywhere, but yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, if you can leave us with the answer to how do we start our business with the end in mind?
I think really what it comes down to is that when we start a business, we have this idea usually, right? And we think, oh, I can make this work and make that work and so on and so forth. But we're not really, we're thinking that it's short term, right? We're going to invest a lot. And then eventually it's going to give back to us, right?
Yeah,
think about that, but we very rarely think about what does the giving back to us look like. And so I think of it like, I think of it like when we have children, right? Surprise or not, we get this child and we're like, okay, I'm going to love the heck out of you and give you everything, right? And as you grow up, you're going to start to push away from me. And eventually you're going to move out of my house,
mm-hmm.
but that someday you're going to take care of me because I'm going to need it. Right? And so it's not unlike that. So if you think of your business like that, how is that business going to pay you back for your investment? Not just short-term, like it pays for my car, it pays for my cell phone. You know, I'm proud that I built this thing. It helped me buy my house, but like, what's the long-term plan? Or do you want to see it go on forever? That is a personal choice of what does that look like? Do I want to sell someday? Okay, well, build with selling in mind. Build with the thought that nobody wants to buy your job.
Mm.
That's right. Most businesses are jobs, they're full-time or double full-time jobs, not just a business, right? We think it's a business because we own it. But it often, more often than not, owns us. So how can we flip that, right? And think about that. But it happens, you know, you think about when you start your business and it's like you're learning and you're figuring out all the things, but we get so good at handling things. So then we just keep adding and adding to our plate to the point where nobody could step in and do the things we do because we're juggling the 8,000 things. Whereas when we started, we were juggling like 10 things. We've adapted over time and gotten really good at it, except it hasn't pushed us to get ourselves and delegate all those things. So I hope that makes sense. So like, if you think about like, I would like to be on a beach with my husband or wife and have a couple homes and exit for $500,000. Well, there are some things you need to do. It's not going to organically happen. It's
right.
Something you have to plan and strategize to accomplish.
Yeah.
It can be done,
mm-hmm.
no matter when it is, even if it's next year, there are things you can do, right? However, you just really need to think about that.
Well, thank you, Tracy. Really appreciate it. Thanks for coming on.
I appreciate you having me, and I hope everybody builds an exit plan. Even just start to think about it, which is a weird thing. You're like, it's not for me yet, but it is for you.
Yeah, absolutely. So Business Shop, get going, get started. Today is the day for the plan.
Yep, exactly. And if you don't plan, you plan to fail. That's Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Thank you for listening to The Business Chop. We hope that you were able to glean valuable information from our guest and that you will download and share this podcast. Your rating and review is much appreciated. To go deeper with our guests, please visit their website and social channels. To learn more about us, please visit businesschop.info or altogether.biz, where we will help you expand your brand.